The purpose of SFLC was to train lawyers, in my view. But, of course, you can't train lawyers without hackers if you're training lawyers in what hackers do. And so we've always thought of ourselves as a place where technical innovation in the free software style was a part of not just the brand, but the way of life. The technical part of today's presentations is dear to my heart, as are the people presenting, but you don't introduce hackers by way of explaining where they went to school or what their degrees are. So I will say only that Ian Sullivan has worked with me in various capacities since he was a sophomore at Columbia College, and is the institutional memory and functional glue of SFLC from day to day, as well as the man responsible for the presentation and organization of this meeting you are at. And Clint Adams makes what we use at Debian both long before he came to work at SFLC and in the last 4 years as he has been making it possible for me not to bite my nails to the quick every single day, every single hour about whether it's all going to hold itself together. We're going to talk, or rather they're going to talk, and I'm going to listen in my usual awestruck way that somebody still has time and skill to do this stuff, about both what we use, how we run our practice, what it teaches us about the bits in the world, maybe some other things. I leave it to them.
Thank you, Evan. So shall we start with the basic of how we put things together?
Sure.
So we have three main elements to our technology infrastructure, which you're probably all familiar with, though maybe not. We have a server room where we keep computers. We have laptops that people use, and there's the internet. Those are the basic elements, just so you're all familiar. On top of that, we have a couple of third-party services that we wanted to disclaim, because there's a lot of, you know, how we do this ourselves. So in addition to an ISP, we also have a voice over IP provider.
We actually have multiple.
We have multiple, yeah. And that's split up. We have one outgoing.
We have one incoming with all our DIDs, and then we use more than one for outgoing. So that gives us some redundancy and flexibility.
Cheaper rates.
Sometimes cheaper rates.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Those are our dependencies. We need to connect to the internet and the phone system for calling people and being a modern organization. The things that are not on that list are things that are commonly run in our server room instead of anyone else's, and we've got a lovely list of those here. Which is your favorite?
My favorite? Oh, that's tough. I can't choose.
I think your shirt has something to say about that.
Well, that's not so much a service as a way of life. But
this is true.
all our servers, all our laptops run Debian. We'd run Debian on our phones if we could, but we can't. That's what we use for pretty much everything, and it works out well for us. And,
yeah. Clint has been instrumental when we've discovered new tools that were of particular use to us that were not already in Debian, to get them into Debian so that we could use them. It's a wonderful practice of when you need software, make sure it's in Debian, and then suddenly it's everywhere. Did you do that with any of the ones on this list?
Yes, HLedger is in Debian because SFLC uses it for accounting. We use HLedger Web, and we have some custom reporting tools built on top of the HLedger library.
And HLedger is built around the idea of doing simple accounting for an individual or very complex accounting for a small or large organization using plain text files and an engine that processes through them and spits out whatever reports you need in the common way that you would use an accounting system. And we've been using the combination of tools and web interface that Clint was kind enough to package up for 2.5 years now, including through two formal audits as a New York nonprofit we're required to get, interacting with external auditors in order to review the books and have those certified for the board. And that's been very effective, but was discovered and packaged as a result of trying to solve those individual needs that you run into as a small nonprofit that people want to sell you services for instead of helping you actually do. In addition to the free software that runs on the actual laptops, the biggest piece of day-to-day infrastructure we use is probably Asterisk, which Clint has been lucky enough to admin since he started out.
All right, so we use Asterisk as our PBX. It handles our landline, it handles our doorbell and intercom system, and it handles all our VoIP traffic. We have the aforementioned VoIP providers, which provide a gateway to the PSTN, and then we have private VoIP connections to some other organizations like the FSF, so we can have phone traffic with them and not pay for it or suffer any of the other disadvantages of going over the normal phone system.
And then also we have fully encrypted voice communications among ourselves wherever
we are. Yes, because we have soft phones on our laptops, and if we are VPN'd into the office, then we can do SIP calls through our PBX, and everything will be encrypted, and this happens regularly.
It also...
We have multiple forms of chat. We have an IRC server where most firm communication takes place, and we also have an XMPP server. The IRC server is Charybdis, and we're running eJabberD for XMPP.
I'm also a particular fan of how Asterisk and VoIP in general allows us to have one number each that will follow us to wherever we happen to be, whether that's the soft phone on a laptop somewhere far remote or a cell phone if you happen to be in an appropriate country for that. And that we've been using that solution quite steadily since before things like Google Voice existed. You can, in fact, do that for yourself on a quite small box for very cheap, which is something that we make use of every day. But we still have to explain to people all the time when they ask for mobile numbers that, no, you have the number. You just need one.
We also communicate via email. We run our own email server in-house. We like the Fourth Amendment. We use Postfix for SMTP, and we use Dovekit for IMAP, and we do some mailing lists as email aliases, and we use SAMPA for some mailing lists, and we use a variety of email clients, and we use GPG or GPG-based tools for encryption.
We also have half a dozen various collaboration and document production and document sharing tools here. But while we're mentioning email, we should point out the dirty secret of everyone's complicated IT systems, which is that email is always a foundational way to share material and collaborate around an office. The fact that the rest of our tools, we have a wiki and custom workflow management tool, which is based on IckyWiki and Pandoc for document conversion, SVN and Git for various kinds of document storage and collaboration. The fact that all of these are based around plain text and lightly marked up text means that, in fact, email fits very neatly as a collaborative structure. It doesn't have all of the forms of easy push and pull from all of the tools that you might want, but when you're trying to get from text to text with tracking of who said what when, email does a pretty good job, which is useful since it's going to get used regardless of what your other goals are, so you might as well play nicely with it. I think that's been the biggest lesson I've gotten over the nearly 10 years I've been here, is that the tools that are going to get used are probably the ones that you should start working around rather than coming at it from the other end and designing the magical solution. So we have a list of not magical solutions that are commodity free software that we're running. Clint is running and I'm helping troubleshoot. But that combined produce a significantly flexible and stable office environment, including full laptop support and various forms of secure communications and document collaboration. There are materials in the CLE materials and also on our blog about the particular document production that we have, which is based around Markdown and Pandoc, turning things into lovely LaTeX, based around the Alice CLS Bank brief that we submitted recently. So if you're looking for an in-depth explanation of how these various tools can combine in a simple workflow to come up with typeset, camera-ready Supreme Court briefs that turn into EPUBs, I would point you to that. That's probably a better explanation than we can do in front of here. So in the interest of time, what other high points should we hit?
I don't know. Does anyone have questions about our infrastructure? Bart.
Between your own use of HLedger and Pandoc, I might be using the Zebra Pascal.
Because of this, I am now a cult member of Haskell. Yeah.
Though not in that order, the Pandoc came first. Yeah. I think. Any other questions?
How do you deal with social media?
Mostly, we have social circles. And collaborate that way. We have a different sort of need for a social media outreach or communication strategy than a lot of organizations, because we primarily serve clients who would not reach out to us through Facebook, and who I imagine we would not be happy with if they did. PR is a separate issue from most of the infrastructure that we run.
I know that in the proprietary world, there's a ton of solutions for document production, et cetera, aimed specifically at attorneys. I don't know much of a resource like that. It doesn't sound like you're using anything. Is that something that you guys miss?
I think it might depend on what sort of production and what sort of optimization. I worked as a paralegal for a number of months ahead of time and before working here, and found myself very much missing grep. So I'm not entirely sure that the optimization is, yeah. I mean, the biggest win, I think, around the office, we've got a bunch of different, you know, editor preferences, OpenOffice, LibreOffice, Emacs, Vim, all of the various ones represented. Standardizing on Markdown has been by far the biggest keeper of the peace and facilitator of collaboration, regardless of tools, because it's something you can compose in an email message. It's something you can build with whatever you want. Our wiki will render that, so if you need to and are not interested in any of the other direct invocation tools, you can just add this as a wiki page and see what it will look like, but mostly because it allows people to collaborate on the stuff they need to collaborate on and then leave the typesetting for the end of the day where we can just take care of all of it in a pass.
Justin.
Just add on, as someone who's used commercial document review and production tools at lawyers, directed at lawyers, and have worked in SVLC with stuff designed and coded, I actually really liked the SFLC tools. I thought I could get into the documents more easily. I could kind of get everything as one large PDF of 1,000 pages or whatever, just go through and mark what I wanted in a much easier way than having kind of an offsite storage where I was, I'd click next and I'd wait 5 minutes for the PDF to, or whatever it was, a TIFF file to be downloaded from the network. So, it was a much nicer document review experience.
Yeah, for the record, the our most significant document review tool, litigation you're referring to, was MUD.
Yeah.
Which loads a lot faster than any networked TIFF viewer I've ever seen. Yeah. All right, we've got one big question that comes up whenever we mentioned that, all of this is anchored in a server room in an office, which is the disaster recovery small business nightmare of what happens when everything disappears. And this year, actually, we were well positioned to address that because, was it about this time last year or closer to Christmas?
A little closer to Christmas.
So closer to Christmas last year, the 80-year-old, 100-year-old Verizon copper in front of our building, which had been our DSL line out to the world, was cut, gave up, whatever actually happens to 80-year-old and repaired copper. And we were left close to the holidays with no connection to anything. And then Clint happened.
I'm not sure I would characterize it that way.
How do you recover a small office server room when everything goes away?
So when it became clear that we were not going to get a stable internet connection back anytime soon, we loaded up a single desktop machine with Vert Manager and a bunch of KVM virtual machines, which would cover most of our critical infrastructure. So our mail server, our phone server, our chat server,
website,
all traveled in VM images up to an offsite location. Where we ran our operations until we got internet back, which was after Christmas, I believe.
Almost February. Yeah.
So if you're running a law practice, just sort of imagine this if you don't mind. You have had no net for 10 days, and you have no prospect of net in the future. Your office has become useless. Your clients, your telephone system, your files, your public-facing website, and at the end of a day's work, Clint handed me a bag with a desktop box in it, and I took it back up to my apartment, well supplied with social. truth is, they don't even know.